The Old Testament reading for the eve of the Nativity of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil, for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
epistle is from Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. You may be seated. There's no lack of commentaries on different things pertaining to Christmas as you look at the readings appointed for this day, and you think about just all the commentary on Christmas in general that goes around even outside of the church and the different Christmas movies like Die Hard and all of those good and glorious things. But I came across the other day the Bede the Venerable, who lived in the late 600s and early 700s AD. And he was born in what is modern-day England. He was a theologian who was classically educated and respected. He was known for his theological acumen, the Venerable Bede, you'll hear him sometimes called. And his most famous work is an ecclesiastical history of the English people, which I'm sure all of you read on a regular basis, right? Now, commenting on this text before you this evening, Bede makes this statement. He says this. He said, "He who sits at the right hand of the Father goes without shelter from the inn, that he may for us get ready many mansions in the house of his heavenly Father. He was born not in the house of his parents, but at the inn, by the wayside, because through the mystery of the incarnation, he has become the way by which he guides us to our home, where we shall also enjoy the truth and the life." And so Bede's words resonate. There's always this stark contrast in the imagery that is the Christmas story that we hear every year. But it's in this contrast that you see the great mercy and love of God for you and Jesus. So think about that for a second. God, who created all things by his word, created out of nothing. The gospel reading for tomorrow on Christmas Day is the prologue of John's gospel, John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," all of that. We think about that, the vastness, the eternalness of God. He comes down, and here he is. And there's no room for him, and he is laid in a manger. But why? Well, in John 14, Jesus said this. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So here is Jesus, the Word of God incarnate, God in the flesh, laid in the manger. And so here he is, not having a dwelling, so that you would and do have a dwelling and place with God forever. So the night of darkness, the night of sin, death, and the devil, they're scattered. And from the manger, the light of the world, Jesus, he shines, and he shines upon you. You see the baby who was born and placed into the manger as none other than God in the flesh. But that's not the end of it. Jesus wasn't just born, but there's a purpose. Listen to the preacher of Christmas that we hear every year, the angel. And what did he say to the shepherds? And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So here is Jesus, who didn't come into the world with pomp, with riches, or even with a place to lay his head for no reason. And he wasn't just doing this to make some political statement. No, Jesus came, and he did this, and he did it for you. The Savior, Jesus, he's born for you. So behold your Savior, Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary. He is the eternal Son of God in the flesh, who came to live perfectly and fulfill God's law, to suffer in your place the wrath of God against your sin. And God had planned this out even before the foundation of the world. His love for you in Christ chose you to be his own. So he knew what he was doing when he was born in Bethlehem. He was fulfilling his plan to save you. He was coming and bringing to fruition all that was spoken of old by the prophets, and you were on his mind when he came down from heaven. And he sacrificed and suffered all, even death, on the cross, so that your sin is forgiven and you would be and dwell with him forever. And that's the scope of God's love for you in Christ, that you see at Christmas, that you have every day. God dwells with his people to save them. And that God would dwell with his people for the express purpose of taking on their sin and suffering the wrath of God in their place for the very people who sinned against him, it is mind-boggling. This great reversal is God's mercy and his grace to you in Christ. And it is a scandal to the world. It's a stumbling block. And the world and our fallen flesh and the devil try to tempt us to be scandalized by Christ, to see him for what he isn't, or to deflect and diverge, to change the message. But to behold Jesus is to behold your Savior. But in that, there's something sobering, because to have a Savior means something. You're a sinner. If you weren't a sinner or could be saved on your own, then there would be no point to Christmas, no point to Good Friday, no point to Easter. Your sin is that objective reality. It doesn't matter whether you think you're a sinner or not. It doesn't matter where you disagree with God's word. So our sinful flesh can try to push these things out of our minds, try to dismiss them, try to write them off. But the fact of the matter remains that we have sinned against God. We have fallen short of his glory. And what we do deserve is death and hell. And God tells us he cannot be mocked. And he tells us very vividly that he even laughs at those who hold him in derision. So those who reject him receive their final reward, and there will be no peace on earth for them. So God calls us at Christmas and every day to repent and to turn from our sin. And so see the baby Jesus and see why he came. See what he has done. See who he is. He's your Savior and the Savior of all people. To look at Christmas in this light is to see off in the distance of this silent night the bloody spectacle of the cross, to see the screams of agony that Jesus would endure. You see him wrapped in swaddling cloths, and the day would come when his body was wrapped in a burial shroud and laid in a tomb. You see the shepherds coming to the baby, and in his future would come the first day of the week when women would come to the tomb to find it empty. The angels proclaimed the birth of the Lord, and angels announced that the Lord had risen from the dead. And that's the wonderful thing about this day. It's the wonderful thing about the whole life of Jesus. God in Christ reconciles the world to himself. And now in him, in this one who is the propitiation for our sins, there's peace. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. Just as John the Baptist stood on the banks of the Jordan and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Your sin has been placed upon this one." And he in turn, he gives you all that he has won. The Jesus of Christmas is the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. And so God's people rejoice. We rejoice in the Lord here who came to save. God in the flesh with us is Emmanuel. It's one of our distribution hymns tonight, and we sang it at the earlier service as well. O Jesus Christ, thy manger is. And we sing in that, O Jesus Christ, thy manger is, my paradise at which my soul reclineth. For there, O Lord, doth lie the word made flesh for us, herein thy grace forshineth. Those words have been sung in the church for centuries, and it's your confession of what Christmas is and always will be as God has revealed this to you. Here in this lowly place is the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, who was born and has taken your guilt and punishment for your sin and what you owe God upon himself, who came and has conquered death and overthrown the devil in all of his works and ways. And that hymn goes on to say, the world may hold her wealth and gold, but thou, my heart, keep Christ as thy true treasure. To him hold fast until at last a crown be thine, an honor and full measure. Let those words be what you say as you gather here tonight, as you go from this place. Christians rejoice this night. We rejoice this night because we have Christ, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and your treasure is known in this baby born in Bethlehem. Your reward, your crown, which will not fade away, is great and will be when you see him face to face and you dwell with him forever in the new heavens and the new earth when you are raised victoriously from your grave. This baby born in Bethlehem is your God, and he has saved you. Because God is man to deliver. He's done it. And so we fall before him and give him all glory and honor. We confess our sin and cling to Christ, who is the forgiveness, life, and salvation and righteousness we have before the throne of God. He's yours. You're his. And no one can take that away from you. The angels preached to the shepherds, this Savior is born unto them. And so then take to heart what you behold and follow the example of the shepherds as well as they heard this message. They give you an example of what the Christian faith looks like and how it's lived. It wasn't let's run away or let's keep tending our flocks because we're feeding and clothing Bethlehem with these sheep, so this is more important than going to where Jesus is found. No, it was something else. They understood, they knew where they needed to be. St. Luke tells us, when the angels went away from them in heaven and the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. That right there is what the Christian life looks like when it hears the gospel of Christmas. It hears God's word and says, amen, Lord, I will go where you say and find you where you are to be found because you are the Savior who is Christ the Lord. And from this, I will confess who you are before all the world. So go where Jesus is found because he's not far. No, he's here. Even as he has promised, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Lord hasn't departed and left you as orphans. He's still here. And you're his bride, the church. You are his people. Keep coming back to where Jesus is the Savior for you in his scriptures, your baptism, his absolution, his supper, and all these gifts here in the church. Christmas, like Easter, are not isolated. No, Jesus continues to come to you and for you, so keep coming back to where he is and rejoice in your Lord. So Bede was right. He was right about the Lord having no shelter so that you would have a dwelling place with God. Take that beautiful truth and reality of what you have in Jesus with you tonight. Ponder and give thanks for the great lengths of God's love toward you in Christ and are known in Jesus and his life, his death, and resurrection. And when you go home and you see your manger scenes and have different ones, I know our kids have different ones, and some of them, the little baby Jesus looks like he has a receding hairline, but regardless, right, he's the baby Jesus in the manger. When you see those images, when you see that, rejoice in the fact that you have a room prepared for you. And your room is in the home of your Father, and it's an eternal home. And so it's Christmas. The grace of God has appeared, the fullness of time has come, and what a wonderful thing it is to gather here tonight. Christmas is for you. Treasure these words as Mary would treasure all these things in her heart. Rejoice and give thanks that the Lord has come. Light has scattered the darkness. You will dwell with God and all of his saints and a new creation, which is a glory beyond compare. So this quiet night burst open with the sound of salvation, your salvation. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.